Now it came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister had left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary had chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Now Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22 and verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee, both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. In verse 54, then took they him, that's the Lord, and led him and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the hall and were set down together, Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, this man was also with him. And he denied him, saying, woman, I know him not. And after a little while, another saw him and said, thou art also of them. And Peter said, man, I am not. And about the space of 1 hour, after another confidently affirmed, saying, of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. And Peter said, man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately, while he yet spoke, the cock crew. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. You know, in the assemblies, we're all one happy family. We're all saved. We're all in the church. We're all brothers and sisters. So each one of us are a part of a family. And I thought that if one of my brothers or one of my family members had gone out of their way for me, that I try to do the same for them. And I do the same for this family as well. The Spirit has led me to speak tonight on something that I feel is needed in the world today, not only today, but every day. And that's more love for Christ. I'm going to speak tonight on the example that Martha and Peter both left us. These two characters in the Old Testament both loved the Lord. They loved Him dearly, but they both made three fatal mistakes. They want to look at those three mistakes this evening. First, we'll talk about Martha. Her general mistake was that she was too busy. Sounds kind of familiar, doesn't it? The Bible says Martha was cumbered about much serving. Cumbered means distracted. She let the service of the Lord come before the worship of the Lord. She was too busy to worship the Lord. And how many times in our lives do we find ourselves maybe saying that we were too busy to worship the Lord? Notice what it says about Mary. Mary, who also sat. Mary had served the Lord already, and now was the time to sit at His feet and to listen to His Word. And I thought of this verse. I read, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on Thee." Mary sat at the Lord's feet and she listened to His Word. And because she listened to His Word, she was at peace. She anointed the Lord. Because she sat at His feet and heard His teaching for each of His own, and His love for each of His own, she realized what He had to go through. And she realized that He was going to be crucified. And the Lord said, "She had anointed me unto the burial." Worship, I once heard, means showing God the worth that He holds in your life. And Mary here was doing just that, showing God the worth that He held in her life. She had given all that she had, this alabaster box of precious ointment. She had broken it on the Lord, and He carried that fragrance to the cross. Everywhere He went, everywhere they took Him, Mary's fragrance was known. You know, Mary's reputation went with that as well. Worship means showing God the worth that He holds in your life. You know, each of us have been made a priest. We were reminded of that this morning. The Bible says we have been made a kingdom of priests. Everyone that's saved is a priest. And you know, we who are young fellows, if we don't take advantage of what's been freely given to us, God is going to hold us accountable for that. He has made us a kingdom of priests, and a priest should be doing his duty, don't you think? You know, if we're keeping our silence in the church, then we're doing the woman's job. The Bible says that women are to keep silent and men are to speak out in praise to the Lord. The Bible says that if we don't speak out, the rocks will. Luke 19, verse 40, that He answered and said unto them, "I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out." He says if they keep their peace, and the rocks will immediately cry out. There's a story told of a little girl who came up to her mother and said, "Mother, remember that precious vase that's been in our family for so many years, passed on from generation to generation?" Her mother says, "Yes, I remember that vase." And the girl says, well, this generation has dropped it. And you know, this generation has really dropped the worship of the Lord. The reason this country is here today is because men fought for freedom of worship. Many men lost their lives fighting for the freedom of worship. And if we don't take advantage of what's been fought for, well, then who's the fool? You know, time is a big thing in our lives. I know sometimes we have guys that get up here and speak and go overtime, and some people get a little fidgety about that. But what's more important? Is it the physical need? Or is it our spiritual needs? The spiritual needs, we hope, are more important. And if we're too busy for those, well, then we're just too busy. We need to settle down. Once heard John Bramhall say, if we go in to worship, we'll be fit to go out and serve. The worship comes first. We have to get to know the Lord so that we can serve Him and know what His will is for us in our lives. Secondly, Martha was too busy to listen. She was so distracted with the things of serving that she just could not stop for one second and sit down at Jesus' feet to listen to what He had to say. The Bible says faith cometh by hearing. It's by hearing that we learn of the Lord. And if we're too busy for hearing, then we're not going to ever learn of Him. The work begins with the ears. You know, parents today spend very little time with their children. And it's because of this the world is like it is today. Children have very little respect for their parents because their parents have never spent the time needed to be with them. So they just go on and do their own thing. Everyone nowadays is doing their own thing. And that's against God's will. No time for things eternal, but much for things of earth. The things important set aside for that of little worth. Some things, 'tis true, are needful, but first things must come first. And what displaces God's own word? Of God, it shall be cursed. What do you think God thinks of us if we're putting in place of worshiping the Lord, say, sports? Well, I'm going to go to a football game today, or I'm going to go play some volleyball, or whatever the case may be. And if I'm late for meeting, or if I don't make it to the meeting, well, I'm sorry. Or say a boyfriend or a girlfriend keep us from coming to the meeting. What's more important? You know, the girlfriend or the boyfriend in the sports of any kind, whatever it may be, are all going to pass away. But God's Word will never pass away, and the worship will never pass away as well. When we go into heaven, that's all we're going to be doing. And that's worshiping the Lord forever and forever. And as we were saying, what a day of rejoicing that will be. And we all see Jesus will sing and shout the victory. And you know what they say? Lifetime is training time for reigning time. And if we're not training now, then we're certainly going to have problems reigning later. The rich man, remember the story of the rich man, he had no time for God. He was too busy pulling down his barns and building greater ones. And God said, "Thou art a fool. This night thy soul shall be required of thee." You know, if we're passing up God's will for our lives and doing our own thing, God is calling us a fool. We're a fool if we think that this world's goods and this world's pleasures are more important than the things of God. There's a time when man will work no more, and the judgment will come. God will judge us for what we have said and what we have done for Him. And you know what it says? The fire will test it. You know, faith without works is dead, being alone. And if we don't show the Lord that we love Him, we're not doing His will. Then Martha was too busy to choose. Luke 10, verse 41, "And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful or anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary had chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her." Mary realized she needed the Lord more than the Lord needed her. And that's what Martha failed to realize. Martha thought that the service was more important than the Lord. Joshua said, "Choose you this day whom ye will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Paul was talking to King Agrippa. And remember, he related unto him the way of salvation. And remember what he said? "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." Almost is no good. "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." You know, you could be here tonight and be saying those same things, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." But you know, one day we're going to stand before the Lord, and you can maybe tell the Lord, "Almost, I almost became a Christian, Lord." But you'll still hear those words, "Depart from me, I never knew you." "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." Mary realized the fellowship of the Lord. She was in sweet fellowship with the Lord Jesus, and she knew that the Lord's death was coming, and she spent every minute she possibly could sitting at His feet enjoying His fellowship. You know, this is what we should be doing as well. Are we spending every minute possibly that we can sitting at His feet and enjoying His fellowship? You know, God only promises us each moment that goes by. And as the clock slowly goes around, your heart, it may stop at any time. And your life may stop just like that. And if you're not prepared to meet your Lord, well, that's a sad case. You know, if we're too busy with the things of this world, we're going to find ourselves in hell. We're going to find ourselves in hell if we pass up the chance to believe in the Lord Jesus, and we're going to find ourselves in hell. Again, you could be here tonight and been here several times before and keep thinking about it. Well, maybe one day I'll accept the Lord. But if you don't do it before it's too late, you're going to find yourself in hell. We have to realize this and judge what is more important of the two. Then Peter, he made three mistakes as well. Peter's first mistake was that he didn't fear. The Lord said, Satan hath tamed you by asking. That's what this means. Satan had desire to have you. Remember Job, the Lord asked, hast thou considered my servant Job a perfect and upright man, and one that feareth God? And Satan says, well, thou hast put a hedge around him. So the Lord took the hedge down and said, don't take his life, but you can do anything else. And Job, with his abundant faith, brought him through this. Notice what Peter said when the Lord warned him, Satan had a desire to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. What are Peter's first four words in answer to the Lord? He says, Lord, I am ready. You know, we can't be ready to fight Satan without the Lord. And this is what Peter was trying to do. He thought he could do it on his own. The Lord says, I have prayed for thee. It's interesting that it says that, but Peter didn't pray to the Lord. And that's what was needed. That's what was missing. If Peter would have asked the Lord for strength, he might have made it through that trial. But this is what he forgot to do. Story told of a little boy trying to open a jar of peanut butter, and he's tugging at it, and the father comes in and asks, are you using all the strength that you have? And the little boy says, yes, Daddy, I'm using all the strength I have. And the father says, no, you're not. He says, you didn't ask me. You know, we have to ask the Lord for strength. I know especially tonight, as you get up here to speak, you know, you feel so inadequate because you're speaking God's word and we're only men. And you need the strength that only God can give to do it. Look at what Peter says after he falls. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 6. It says, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Peter's self-confident. He was self-confident that he didn't need the Lord. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, like a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Peter's hope failed. He was hoping in the Lord, and when he realized the Lord was going to die, his hope failed. And when his hope failed, his courage was gone. He lost his courage. Let him that think he standeth take heed lest he fall. This is what Peter didn't do. My strength is made perfect in weakness. And you can truly see this in Peter's life after he fell. He came back and he preached at Pentecost, and there were 3,000 souls who were saved. Second mistake is that he wasn't near. Luke 22, verse 33, I am ready to go. And then verse 54, Peter followed afar off. couldn't have been very ready to go if he followed afar off, could he? Peter didn't get to prison and he was afar off. He didn't follow close enough to the Lord. You know, the Bible says, draw nigh to me, and I will draw nigh unto you. You know, the Lord is always faithful. We are the ones who do all the moving. Moving away and moving closer. We have to draw near with true hearts and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled with pure water. Somebody once said, the closer you get to God, the less room you leave for the devil to come between. And that's true. If you're walking with the Lord, then there's no room for the devil to come in and tempt you. A professor once had a class write a paper, and he said, half of your page I want you to devote to writing about the Holy Spirit and half about the devil. And one fellow came up at the end of the class, and the whole paper was about the Holy Spirit. He said, I'm sorry, I had so much to say about the Holy Spirit that I ran out of room for the devil. I have no room for the devil. Brothers and sisters, that should be our portion tonight, shouldn't it? We have no room for the devil. There's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Well, Peter loved the Lord, but he didn't have this virtue. I think only the Lord does. It would have been okay if Luke could have said, and Peter followed. Everything would have been just fine. Peter could have looked like a faithful servant. But it says Peter followed afar off. And he turned into a fearful servant. Now the worldliness in this day and age keep us from doing the will of God. If we're so worried about doing what the world wants us to do and pleasing the world, we're not going to worry about what God wants us to do. And this is the more important thing. What God wants us to do. Not what the world thinks we should do or wants us to do, but what God wants us to do. The hymn says, take time to be holy. Speak oft of thy Lord. And then the last mistake was he didn't hear. It was interesting, while I was studying what Simon means, you know, it is a form of Simeon, which means hearing or hearkening. The Lord says, listen, listen. Simon, Simon, listen, listen, listen and look. Satan has desire to have you. And he didn't hear him. Satan has desire to have you. If you're here tonight, do you hear that warning? Satan desires to have you. And if he already has you, he wants to keep you. He don't want to let you loose. Satan had desire to have you, and Simon passed up that warning, and he didn't hear the Lord. The Lord said, when thou art converted, that told Simon, you're going to fall. He said, when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. But he didn't hear that warning either. James chapter 3, verse 8 says, the tongue can no man tame. And Peter's tongue was too quick. He didn't think about what he was saying. And he didn't hear until it was too late. Peter needed a hearing aid. And that was the look of the Lord. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he said unto him, "Before the cock crows, thou shalt deny me thrice." You know, when the Lord looked at Peter, looked into his eyes, pierced to his heart, you know, man looks on the outward appearance, but God looks on the heart. And when he looked at Peter, I'm sure he pierced into the heart. And Peter remembered his words, "Thou shalt deny me thrice." And he went out and wept bitterly. You know, wept bitterly means wailed out, wailed aloud with grief. The same word used when the Lord was in Gethsemane. The Bible says, "Thou wilt guide me with thine eyes." You know, I'd like to think that after this, Peter always remembered that look. Oftentimes I wonder what kind of look it was. I think that it might have been sort of a, "I told you so, but I still love you." The Lord had told Peter, he warned him, "You're going to fall, but when thou art converted, strengthen thine brethren." I'm sure the Lord loved Peter with an everlasting love, and he realized that Peter was just a man, and that he was going to fall, but he also knew that Peter was going to come back, and was going to become converted, and he would strengthen the brethren through his own life. You know, the Lord's looking at us in closing tonight. He's looking at each one of us with those tender eyes. And He's got love in those eyes. And He realizes that we're only men. And I believe what every assembly needs is more love. If we love one another, we wouldn't have any problems. And if we love the Lord like we should, we'd be happy to love one another. It's a tough thing to love one another, especially if we have someone that has done something that we didn't like. It's tough to love that person. The clock of life is wound just once. And no man has the power to tell just when the hands will stop at late or early hour. To lose one's wealth is sad indeed. To lose one's health is more. To lose one's soul is such a loss that no man can restore. The prison only is our own. Live, love, toil with will. Place no faith in tomorrow, for the clock may then be still. Now your clock may be up tonight. Wouldn't you want to go to glory knowing that the last thing that you've done was for the Lord? Wouldn't you want to go to glory knowing that you'll be rewarded for all that you've done for Him? Or would you want to go to glory knowing that something in your life has replaced the worship of Him? Something or someone in your life has replaced the worship of the Lord, the one who died to set us free. Now, I don't think any of us want to go to glory like that. I think what we need is more love for the Lord, and to realize that He died to set us free. And the least we can do is repay Him with our lives and service to Him. I trust in these few thoughts this evening that we might learn the importance of loving the Lord Jesus and loving others.